Welcome to the third sermon in our sermon series entitled, One Neighborhood at a Time. Jesus commands us to love our neighbor, to serve others with compassion, and meet the tangible needs of others. When we seek to practice those actions right where we are, we begin to change the world, one neighborhood at a time. Today's sermon title, Too Busy to Neighbor. Open your Bible to Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. And let's begin.
Church, welcome. So glad that you're here. Happy Mother's Day. All the moms and grandmas, we so appreciate you. Let's give them another round of applause. Make sure you spoil those ladies today in your life. Let them know you care. We love you and are so glad you're here. So let me say a prayer and we'll get into the message today. Father, thank you so much for this time together. Father, I pray that you could help us just see through some of the busyness and distraction in our life and help us to give you some of our focused attention so that you can pour into us, Lord, what is good and necessary for our souls. Father, I pray, Lord, that we could love people with a rare type of love and that you would be glorified in it. We ask this in Jesus' good name. Amen. Well, church, before I get into the message today, I want to give you a little bit of an update on where we're at with the land. So we've been in this exciting adventure as a church where we are praying and dreaming and following God because we want to be a church here for decades and decades to come. And we want to be a place where God can reach unchurched people and help them know Christ, where God can raise up awesome kids and help them know the love of Christ and grow in the love of Christ from the time they're babies to students. We want to be a blessing to our community, and we are just ambitious to serve God in awesome ways in our generation. And so one of the things we've been talking about is creating a new facility that we can grow into, and that will be an asset and a great tool to love and serve our community. And so we've been working on this, finalizing the purchase at Archer Road down there, and I've told you about that. And it was really exciting these last couple weeks because we had the architects come out and they began to help us think about how best to utilize this to serve our community, to make a facility that would be just attractive and a lighthouse in our community. And so they came up with just some, you know, basic brainstorming ideas. We talked about using some of that land as like a soccer field and a nature walk, things that we can invite the community to. And they had drawn up this sketch about thinking about some of our inside space. And I thought this was really cool. But that would be kind of a hangout area. Wouldn't it be nice to have a hangout area where we could talk? Yeah, some of you are excited about that. But the idea with that is that from Route 10, people would look into that. It would be kind of a glass structure, and they would see like a fun playground for kids, love written on the wall, and that would be lit up during the night, so it would really stand out. What an amazing thing, isn't it? And it just got me excited to imagine the great future that God has for us. And he's moving. And church, what we're trying to do, I just heard this week, this is something only about 1% of churches do, what we're trying to do. We are stepping into a difficult but an amazing journey. And here's what I know, that if we keep taking steps of faith, if we keep saying, God, what's next? And if we keep following him, God is able to do beyond what we can think or imagine. And one day we're going to be in there and we're going to look around and be like, holy cow. God did all this, and God is changing all these people's lives, and what an amazing thing to be part of this journey. You with me on this, church? So I got a couple things. Yeah, I think that deserves that. A couple things to be praying about, though, as we just continue to move forward. One, part of the reason we met with them is they're trying to figure out where the building would lie so that we can test the soil, and you know, the glaciers millions of years ago left a bunch of sand in this area, so they have to figure out where the sand is, and that will change some construction dynamics. So just pray that there's no sand issues. That's what you can pray for there. Just keep it to that. We're also praying to finalize some of the details on that sewer. That was kind of one of the things that really held us up in the beginning. And the city has been great about that, but now we have to just figure out the final details because it goes into a private residence. And there's all kinds of things to be worked out to finalize the sewer going across the street. So you can ask for God's blessing on that and that we can get that all worked out sooner rather than later. These things tend to take a lot of time, if you haven't noticed. So be praying for that. And just continue to pray that God would stir up our faith and our vision and our generosity and continue the good work he's doing through us. Sound good, church? We need your prayers. This requires God to work. And I know he is good for it. And we get to go on the adventure with him. So that's a little update. Now, we started 2 weeks ago this sermon series called One Neighborhood at a Time. And we've been looking at this idea, how can we live out Jesus's idea to love your neighbor as yourself? Because Jesus said, hey, there's two priorities. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He said, if you can focus on those two and you can make progress on those two, then you're going in the right direction. And so we've been saying, well, let's focus on this second one for now. How can we love our neighbor as ourselves? And 2 weeks ago, I talked to you about this idea of love where you live. That look at the people that you live close to as a place to begin to live out this commandment. Try to be a better neighbor. And when I said that, everyone just blew me off and didn't listen at all and said, no, you don't know who I live by. This is a no-go. But you know, hopefully you're thinking about that. This last week we talked about this idea of Jesus raising a new standard of love. Because we love people according to our standard. I'll love you if you're easy to love. But Jesus says, nope, that's not how it works. You have to love people like I have loved you. It's a way higher standard. And so we talked about that. And today, I want to talk to you about what I think is the greatest obstacle you and I face to living out this idea of love your neighbor as yourself. And here's what it is. It's busyness and it's distraction. Because busy and distracted people are not good at loving their neighbor as themselves. And we live in a busy and distracted world, don't we? It's so easy. And in fact, this week I read the story about a man named Tristan Harris. He worked for Google as a developer and did really, really well, very successful in his job. But he became concerned because what he said he saw happening with all of these tech companies and social media companies, he said they were in an arms race to the stem of the human brain, which is a pretty intense thing that he's saying. But what he's saying is that all these companies are using all the research and all the tech that they can to consume your attention and to consume space in your life. Because the more screen time, the more revenue for those companies. And he became concerned about it. He was so concerned that he wrote a manifesto that said, hey guys, this is unethical, what we're doing. And how do you think that went over? Like a lead balloon. Yeah, so he doesn't work there anymore. But he raises some very, very important concerns. And then I read the research of a man named Adam Alter. He is a cousin of Adam Arter. I'm just kidding. Really bad joke. But he did his psychological research trying to answer this question, what is the thing that is most shaping us as human beings today? And guess what his answer was? Our screens. What is the thing that is most shaping us today? Our screens. And then you think about what Tristan is saying, and on those screens, there are people, very, very smart people, that are trying to invade your life and steal your attention to whatever they're focused on. It's a distracting world. It's a hard world to stay focused sometimes on what is most important and what really matters. And at the end of the day, distraction and busyness prevent a life of neighborly love. They prevent it. I believe that many of us, we It's not that we want to be against people. We want to love people. And I think we buy into Jesus's idea. We want to love people well. But I think if we're not careful and if we don't think about this and if we don't have a conversation about this, then the thing that's going to really prevent it is our distraction and our busyness. And you might not be sucked into the world of technology. Maybe you have good boundaries with that. But even if you're not sucked into that world, I still see many people that are way overscheduled. And busyness has become almost a drug of choice in our world, and it creates the same results. Now, when you think about this issue, you might be tempted to think that this is a modern issue, that followers of Jesus didn't have to worry about this, because what did they have to do in the past, right? Churn some butter, sew some new pants. You know, they didn't have much going on. But believe it or not, this is not a new issue. This is a very old issue. And this is not a technology issue. I'm not against technology. I love technology. I'm thankful for it. I'm fascinated by it. This is a human issue. And this is an issue that Jesus actually addressed. And we're going to look at that today. It's Luke chapter 10. This is where we've been the last 2 weeks. And we're going to finish this chapter today. And this is a unique story. It only shows up in this biography of Jesus, Luke's gospel. And here's what happens. As they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Everybody just say that name with me, Martha. Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. Everybody say Mary. Mary. So we got Martha and Mary. Martha and Mary. These are the two main players today. And Martha had her in her house. Her sister Mary was there, and she sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Now, while they're in their house, what is Mary's priority? Listening to Jesus, right? And this sat at his feet is actually even a little bit more than that. It means that she was putting herself in the posture of a disciple, of someone who is going to learn and follow and absorb the teachings of Jesus. But Martha was, say that with me, distracted. What? Yeah, she was on Instagram the whole time. She was doing an Insta story. Hey, you won't believe who's at my house. It's Jesus. Look what we're doing next. But she was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. And so what is she trying to do? She's saying, Jesus, I'm doing all the work here. I'm preparing lunch. I'm trying to keep the kids under control. I'm letting the dog in and out. And Mary's just sitting there. Can you please tell her to do something? And here's what Jesus says. The Lord answered, Martha, Martha. Anytime your name is repeated twice, you know, chet, chet, chet. I know nothing good is coming after that. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen that. Mary's got her priorities right. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. In other words, she's trying to recruit Jesus on her side, and Jesus says, no, your priorities are the ones that need adjusted, not Mary's. That's what she's trying to do. Mary, she's got the wrong priorities right now. And Jesus says, no, Martha, it's actually you. And so I believe that this story is here, not to pick on Martha, but to give us a frame to think about two different approaches to life. And the one approach to life is the Martha approach, the distracted, the busyness. And the other approach is the Mary approach, where we're trying to learn from Jesus and be changed by his presence. So here's the big idea today. And this is what I want you to know. Great souls, if you're going to be a great soul, if I'm going to be a great soul that is able to love my neighbor as myself, that's able to do good in the world, I'm not going to become that if I'm constantly distracted and busy. Because when you're hurrying everywhere, that doesn't produce a life of great compassion and love. When you're distracted, you can't love people. Do you ever have a conversation at home and you're looking at your phone, doing your thing, and your wife's like, did you hear what I just said? Yes. What did you just say? You know, it's hard to really create great relationships of love when we're distracted. But here's what does change us. When we give some of our focus and our attention to Jesus Christ, and we create some time in our life where we can be in his presence and we can hear from him and we can be shaped from him. And I want to talk about how we can do that today. You with me on this, church? So let's look at these two different approaches. Here's the Martha approach. She's distracted. She's busy. She's getting upset because other people aren't riding on her crazy train. And so it's bothering her even more. And she represents that lifestyle of distraction and busyness. And there's two important things about this that I want you to see today. Number one, this is easy to get caught up in this life because life is genuinely busy and distracting. And it's not that it's busy with all kinds of evil stuff. It's just busy with a lot of good stuff and a lot of just stuff, right? Martha's not doing anything horrible here. Jesus is in her home. She's trying to make a nice stay for him. She's trying to maybe make him a nice meal. Doesn't sound like a terrible idea to me. But what Jesus is saying is that might be good, that might be okay, but you are sacrificing what is best for what is just okay. You've misaligned your priorities. And so the world will make that very easy to do, but here's the second more important truth. When given the choice between busyness and non-busyness, distraction and non-distraction, we often choose busyness and distraction. When given the choice, we often choose that for ourselves. And here's why I think we do it. Several reasons. Number one, we are uncomfortable with silence and solitude. We don't like it. Are you ever at a time in your life where you're like, it's quiet, nothing going on. I got to fill this void. Where's my iPod? Turn the TV on. Turn the radio on. We're uncomfortable with it. Everything kind of pushes against it. And the tragedy of that is that your soul needs silence and solitude to grow. It absolutely does. If there's constant input in our hearts and in our minds, we live scattered and confused and in a daze. And church, we're so used to being entertained all the time that we almost can't take it when we're not being entertained. So it's like, I'm going to find a way to continue to be entertained because this is uncomfortable to me. There's no cool cat videos that I can watch right now. I'm falling apart. And we have a great discomfort with that to the detriment of our inner lives. You with me on this, church? Give me an amen if you know it's true. All right, three of you believe that's true. Number two, here's the second reason I think we tend to choose it is because sometimes we bind to the myth that busyness equals importance. If I'm busy, then I feel a sense of importance. If I'm always doing something, that must be that I have value, that I'm important. People need me. People want me around. And so sometimes we're just kind of buying into that myth that busyness equals importance. But church, don't we know it's true? You can be busy and do nothing important. You can fill a whole lifetime and do nothing genuinely important. But you fill a whole lifetime of activity. That should scare us a little bit. That should make us think a little bit. Busy doesn't equal importance. Third, I think sometimes we use busyness and distraction to mask the process of addressing the deeper issues in our life. Here's why sometimes we hate solitude, because then we have to think about things in our life. And we don't always want to do that. We have to think about who am I? Where's my life going? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Or am I filling time? And so sometimes we keep ourselves busy, church, so we don't have to be alone with our own thoughts. And we don't actually have to resolve some deep and difficult and real inner issues. And so what do? We distract ourselves and avoid and avoid and avoid. And then lastly, I would say that really distraction and busyness is a result of a lazy approach to life. It doesn't feel lazy because you're like, this is exhausting living this way. But it's a lazy approach to life because you have not taken the time, and I have not taken the time to really say, what are my priorities? And what do I need to say? What are the good things I need to say no to so I can say yes to the great things? And what are the great things in my life? Because if you want to be the type of mom and dad that you feel like God's calling you to be, there's a lot of good things you're going to have to say no to, right? To create the time so you can have the energy to give to your family. If you want to serve God and you want your life to be impactful for his kingdom, you're going to have to say no to some things. Because we can't say yes to everything and then say yes to God's great things for our life at the same time. It doesn't work. Something has to give. And it's a lazy approach to life to never think through those things and never to adjust our life accordingly. You with me on this, church? And so this is why I think we fall into the Martha approach to life. But here is what it produces, just what Jesus says. Jesus is so on point here. It's amazing that he could speak this 2,000 years ago, and this could still be so true today. He says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled. And church, have you noticed that a distracted and busy life, what does it produce? Not happiness, not great love, but anxiety and inner turmoil. And we don't have to raise hands today, but how many of us are coming into church and we're just exhausted? How many of us are coming into church and we're gliding into the parking lot on E in our souls? How many of us feel like I can't even begin to really think about God's purpose for my life because I just don't have the energy to do it? And maybe, church, maybe it's because of how we're approaching our lives, and this is an opportunity for God to help us rethink it. You with me on this, church? And so let's talk about another way. Let's talk about Mary's way. What does she do? She sits at Jesus' feet and she listens, and Jesus praises her for it. You've chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away. And here's what's great about this. She represents that lifestyle that makes time for the presence of Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you my focused attention. I'm going to give you my undivided focus for these moments. Now, there's a couple things going on there. Number one, commentators point out that this would have been an unusual thing for Mary to sit at Jesus' feet as a disciple. Because in this time, men were the only ones that did that. And what you have to realize about the New Testament is it always elevates the role of women. I know many people say that's not true, but when you read it and you read it in its historical context, Jesus, the apostles, the early church, they are always elevating the role of women in their society, and Jesus does it right here. In other words, a person that everyone else said could not be a disciple, Jesus praises her and says, no, you're good with me. If you're willing to give me your focus and attention, I will give you my very best. And church, I want to bring that up today because no matter who you are, what you've done, or where you've come from, if you give Jesus your focused attention, he will give you his best. You don't have to be something you're not to receive the best from Jesus. You can just be who you are. You can be where you're at in life. And the beauty of Jesus is that he will meet you right in that moment if you're willing to look to him and to listen to him and to open your life to him. And that's all it takes. It's just a willingness to do that. And Mary does it. And Mary gains from Christ, from his presence. And so how can we begin to create a lifestyle where we can carve out time for the presence of Jesus Christ? And let me give you some practical ideas on this. Number one, I think we have to do what Martha did. Even though she didn't kind of hit a home run here, but she did something that was good. It was unintentional, but it was good. She questioned her busyness in the presence of Christ. How do we start to readjust our life? We have to question our busyness and our approach in the presence of Christ. I want you to think today and ask yourself, am I living the right pace that God has for my life? Am I focused on the right priorities? Am I getting caught up in the tsunami of distraction in the world, or am I keyed in on what I actually believe is really important and what God tells me is actually really important? We question these things, and we ask God to help us to think through it. Some of the questions I've been asking myself is, well, why am I so busy? What's going on? Is this just a season of my life that's uncontrollable, or am I creating an unhealthy dynamic? What are my priorities? Really, what is most important to me? If I say God's most important to me, church, he has to show up in my schedule. Otherwise, I'm lying to myself. Christ, you are the most important thing, but you're not going to get one moment of my time. Christ, you are Lord of my life, but you're not going to get 5 minutes of me trying to sit at your feet and learn. You with me on this, church? We can't live self-deceived. What are actually my priorities? Church, we have a great opportunity on Saturday. We're doing our serve day, 8:30 to 12:30 on Saturday. And we're going to take time. We're going to serve our community. We're going to serve members of our own church. We're going to serve here. And we're going to try and live out these principles of just bringing love and helping people and helping each other. And I think, what a great thing to come and be part of. Well, what's it going to cost you? Some time. Some energy. What's it going to cost you? A little bit of your Saturday morning. But church, what a great opportunity and what a great thing to do as a family too. What a great way to say, hey, as a family, we're going to prioritize serving God, and here's just one small way we can do it. Just throwing that out there for you, church, and you can sign up at the Connection Center. But really, what are my priorities, and how do they show up in my life? What am I trying to prove? Sometimes our busyness, again, we're just trying to prove our importance. We're trying to prove that we have value. We have something to add. Who am I trying to impress? Isn't it crazy how you can be driven in life to impress someone that doesn't even know you're trying to do that? They told you in fourth grade that you weren't anything. And then you're still, if you're honest and you dig deep enough in your heart, there's still a drive in you that's trying to do too much to impress them. Who am I trying to please? If you try to please everyone, you will please no one and you will be exhausted. If you try to please God, though, I think your life will take a healthy form. So we question our busyness in the presence of Christ. Second, I think, church, if we're honest, we need to create a healthy relationship with technology in our lives and social media. Some of us, we should not be on social media because I see your Facebook posts. And you're not helping anybody. We need to think about this, church. These are actually spiritual issues. And I'm not anti-technology, but honestly, if those things are such a distraction and they're draining us, what benefit are we really gaining from them? If we can't sit down and have a conversation with people that we love and not look at our phones 32 times in that conversation, we need to have a different relationship with technology. Because distracted people don't love well. They don't love well. And I'm as guilty as anybody about this. And so we have to think about it, church. We have to be intentional. We can't just be passive to all these things. You with me on this? Three, here's one way to begin to go into the presence of Christ is we spend time and we saturate ourselves by reading the scriptures. And if you've never done this, this might sound strange to you, but hear me out on this. Times in your life where you are confused, where you need clarity, where you feel a sense of emptiness in your life, what I found is one of the best ways I can get into the presence of Christ is to get away where I'm not going to be interrupted and to spend some time reading the scriptures and saying, God, speak to me. And church, every time I've done this, he speaks to me. I get the clarity that I need. I get the encouragement that I need. I get the fuel back in the tank. And it becomes transforming to my life. Bible saturation. Fourth, this is something we can all do this week. Practice small moments of solitude. Small moments of solitude where you are intentionally, you're saying to Jesus, I want to receive from you. And here's what I found about this, is that my mind goes pretty insane when I try to do this. And I'll say, I'm going to go for a walk, and I'm just going to try and connect with God. I'm going to try and hear what he has to say to me. And so what I do is I begin to take that walk, and I begin to try and just settle my mind down. And my mind goes crazy. I'm thinking about bills to pay. I'm thinking about fourth grade. I'm thinking about a cat video I saw on YouTube. I'm thinking about Baker Mayfield. Amen. I'm thinking about all that stuff. And it's just crazy. But here's what I found. If I let my mind go and just don't try to stop that train, just say, all right, keep running. It'll run for about 20 minutes. And then it's like, all right, that's all the randomness I can bring you today. And it begins to settle down. It's kind of like a pond that gets stirred up and the muck's everywhere and it's crazy. But if you give it time, the dirt begins to settle back at the bottom and it becomes clear again. And then I can begin to hear God's voice in my life a little easier. So give your mind time to settle. It's stirred up right now. It's mucky right now. So give it about 20 minutes, let it settle, and then spend some time trying to listen to the voice of God. And I think you will walk away from that time hearing what you need to hear, connecting to Christ and the way you need to connect him to give you the fuel to go forward. So I think you got to give yourself at least a half an hour to do this. 5 minutes of solitude is not going to cut it. Your mind's going to be too stirred up. Give it time. Let your mind settle and hear from Christ. And I think if we all made this part of the rhythm of our lives, we might experience some new resources to live the life God's called us to. Listen for God with expectation. Here's what God always says. If you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me. If you seek me, you will find me. If you go and you try and say, Jesus, I'm going to try and be a little bit like Mary today. I'm going to try and listen for you. I'm going to try and listen to you. You will find him. He's not hard to find. We just got to give him a little bit of our attention. And here's the beauty of this. When you give God your attention, what does he give you back in return? Well, Jesus says the good portion that Mary got will never be taken away from her. When you spend time in the presence of Christ, there is eternal things of eternal value that are shaping your soul. When you and I, when we give Christ some of our attention, what does he give back to us? He gives back to us things of eternal value and importance. Because at the end of the day, church, we don't take our stuff and our computers and our phones with us into the presence of God, but we do take our souls. And your soul is the most important thing that you have in this world. And when you spend time with Christ, he makes your soul better. When you spend time with Christ, he ennobles your soul. He prepares it not only for this life, but for the life to come. And the things that God is going to ask you to do in your life, the people that he's going to ask you to love, you're going to need all that Christ has to offer you to love those people and to do those things. And you can only get those in his presence. You with me on this, church? Martin Luther King is one of my heroes. And I know he wasn't a perfect man, but his life still inspires me. And one of his biographers, Dan Garrow, he writes about what he says is the most important day of his life. It was January 27th, 1956. It wasn't the day he gave the I Have a Dream speech. It wasn't a day where he met with President Lyndon Johnson to talk about the Civil Rights Bill. It wasn't the day of the Montgomery bus boycott or the day when he wrote the letters from Birmingham jail. It was a day that most people don't know about it. But it was a day where he had just gotten out of jail and he was harassed, he was threatened, he thought he might die, and he came home and his wife was asleep and his newborn daughter, Yolanda, was sleeping, and he came home exhausted. Mentally, spiritually, physically. And he was in silence and solitude. And he said, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. I'm afraid for my daughter. I'm afraid for my wife. I'm afraid for myself. I don't think I have what it takes. I'm on E. And just as he was thinking those thoughts, the phone rang. And on the other end was a man who called him some racial slurs and said he was going to kill him and his family. Because isn't that how those days usually go? You think you're at the end, and then one more thing happens. And he said, God, this is too much. And so he said, I knew in that moment that there was no one I could talk to help me. He said, I knew my dad couldn't help me. I knew my mom couldn't help me. He said, the only one I knew that could help me was the God that my dad talked about. And so he said, I prayed one of the most honest prayers I've ever prayed. And I said, God, I'm trying to do what's right. I'm trying to honor you. I'm trying to live for you. Would you please help me? And he said, in that moment, in that quiet, in that solitude, in that time where he was focused on what Christ might say to him, he heard the words, Martin Luther King, stand up for justice. Stand up for truth. Stand up for righteousness. And I will never, never, never leave you or forsake you. Never, ever. I will be with you wherever you go. And he said, as soon as he had that moment, he was ready to continue the fight. And he said, that moment gave him strength to do everything that he did. That moment in the presence of Christ. And I wonder what Christ might say to you and what Christ might say to me if we gave him some moment in our life. I'm not asking you to give him every moment. I'm just asking you to give him one moment. What might he say to you? What might he do in your heart and in my heart? And what I know is that it will prepare us for all that he has to come and all that he wants for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, that we have the hope that when we go before you, God, you won't cast us away in frustration. You won't look at us and tell us we're a failure. But Lord, you will speak life and truth and hope and peace into our life. You will give us clarity. You will give us direction. And you will help us to continue to do your will. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that we would create those moments of silence and solitude this week. I pray for each one of us, Lord, that we would have a time this week where we can meet with you, we can hear your whispers, and we can be changed by you. And eternal value can be added to our soul. Thank you, Lord, that we can do it. Now help us to do it. And I ask this all in the great name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.